chapter 21, verse 25, the Gospel of John. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So yes, the Lord Jesus did a lot of things. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John record a lot of those things, but not everything. That's what the verse says. If you drop down to the very next verse in the Bible, chapter 1 and verse 1 of the book of Acts, Dr. Luke says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." In other words, he is reflecting on what he wrote in the book that we call the Gospel of Luke and saying some things about that. You drop down a little further in that first chapter of Acts, and he says to that little crowd, the 120 that constitute that first church, at least the early set of members, he says to them in verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be," watch this, "and you shall be, that is, there's more to come, "and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So, I kind of set this up tonight by reminding you, and some of you, not all of you, but some of you will remember a number of years back, and I'm not sure exactly the dates, but some of you will remember there was a time when we had a newsman in this country who was a good newsman. That was then, this is now. We had a good newsman, a Christian man, whose broadcasts were very popular. And I'll try to say his name the way he said it. He would say, "This is Paul Harvey." Many of you will remember Paul Harvey. On his daily broadcast, he would say things somewhere down in the broadcast, he would say something like this: "And now for a potpourri of the day's news from page 3. And then at the last of his broadcast, the last item, he would tell us a story. Maybe something we had heard about, but he had more information about it, and it was always absolutely intriguing. And at the end of that, he would always say, "And now you know the rest of the story." Now, the Gospels give the biographics of Jesus, namely the virgin birth, his sinless life, his substitutionary death on the cross, his triumphant resurrection, glorious ascension, all of that. I mean, what a rich scenario. The entire set of scenarios, the presentation that's made there. Along with that, we get the calling of the disciples, the establishment of the church, and the spread of the gospel. We get all of that from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And somebody said years ago, they thought all of that was the greatest story ever told. And I'm kind of inclined to agree with that. But when we get to the book of Acts, it is there that we get the rest of the story. And the rest of the story, as laid out in these 28 chapters of Acts, will help us in our Christian life and what it's supposed to be about, how we're to handle it. And it'll also help us in the doing of church. It'll just help us. It's the prototype for all of the things that followed the life and ministry of Jesus. And as I look at these 28 chapters and consider the rest of the story, I found several things. Number one, I discovered it's a story of the gospel. The fact that these folks were out and about and ministering and having church and all of that, they did not forget that they were ambassadors of the gospel. Now, sometimes, once in a while, I've picked up a gospel tract, doesn't have any gospel in it. I've heard people speak without any reference to the gospel, and I suppose there might be occasion for that, but at the same time, we are ambassadors, we are proclaimers of the gospel, and we need to keep a heavy priority on the gospel, namely that Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again, and in so doing, he paid our sin debt. He paid it in totality. Nothing left over to pay. He paid all of the debt we owed. Not only that, in so doing, he purchased salvation for us and turns around and offers it to us in the words of the Bible. It is the gift of God. That's the gospel. Wonderful that God sent his son. He left heaven, came to earth, spent some time here, put all of that together. And whenever you read the book of Acts, those folks have not forgotten that. They are giving it out all over the place. So the rest of the story is a story of the gospel. It's also a story of growth. Chapter 2 and verse 41 says, they added to the church, talking about the Jerusalem church, they added to the church daily. Chapter 5 and verse 14, I said daily. They added daily to the church. Acts chapter 5 and verse 14 says multitudes of both men, get it right, of both men and women were converted. Chapter 5 and verse 42 says daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. You get to chapter 9 and verse 31 and it tells us that the churches were multiplied. I love addition, but boy, I like multiplication a whole lot more. When you're talking about good stuff, add to it, add to it, add, that's great. But multiply it, that's even better. I read in chapter 9 and verse 35, for example, that two whole cities were converted. Two whole cities. Now, probably not large cities. They're named and they're smaller towns. But when you consider any size town where everybody is converted, I mean, absolutely fabulous. How did they do that? They preached the gospel. So growth is a part of the exciting story that is post-resurrection, post-ascension, and that is in the book of Acts. No stagnation, no stalemate. They're just at it. They're growing. So it's a story of the gospel. It's a story of growth. And let me emphasize, it's also a story of groups. Groups, gatherings, clusters, I'll call them, called churches, where people amass together. They amass together. They gather together and they organize themselves. And we have two great churches in the book of Acts, Jerusalem and Antioch, and others, lesser known. And these are work centers. These clusters of people are work centers. And listen, the grand design of God is that we have a church. Not my idea, not pastor's idea, but it's God's idea. And we're not talking about a club. We're not talking about some kind of social organization. We're talking about something that is entirely unique that God put together. And he plants churches. He plants them like here at Blessed Hope. He plants them like in the village there in Alaska and all other places across the globe where God's people gather and bind themselves to the Word of God. They create a church, a local entity called a church. And that is a part of the rest of the story. Now, that book of Acts also tells us not only is the rest of the story a story of the gospel, a story of groups, and so forth, but it's also a story of grace. Grace. Chapter 4, verse 33 says, great grace was upon them all. I love John Newton's way of putting it when he said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I love that, and I believe it's appropriately said. God did provide his grace to save people. people in the human race. He provided an authentic plan, made it available, made it affordable, all of that so that we could get in. And then as we struggle, as we have our days of difficulty, we have times when we just don't know where to turn and what to do, God continues to administer grace. Grace. Grace is heaped upon us in abundance every single day that we live. So yes, it is a story of grace, and it's also, the rest of the story is a story of gladness. Chapter 2, verse 41 says, they gladly received his word. Chapter 2, verse 46 says, they did eat their meat with gladness. Chapter 3 and verse 8 tells the story of that lame man who was healed. He was walking and leaping and praising God. I'm telling you, that guy, he had a dose of happiness. He had gladness. I mean, it was showing on him. Chapter 4 and verse 12, verse 20, it says, we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. What's the deal with them? They're excited. They're glad. They're stirred up. They were lost. Now they're found. I'm not sure how it is here, but every once in a while we'll see a grump get saved. Probably don't have any here, but other places I go, they got them. And every once in a while, a grump will get saved. And you know what happens when a grump gets saved? God starts working on him. It's called sanctification. Starts transforming that person. And the next thing you know, there'll be little indications of gladness. And you know how some people are? Some people, they are born in the objective case, in the kickative mood. I mean, they can't even get up and say hello without being grouchy. But whenever the grace of God and the sweet, blessed message of the gospel is given and somebody buys into that, they yield themselves to that, I'm telling you, every once in a while, if you look close, you'll see it. There'll be a little smile start happening there. Gladness, I mean, and I'm telling you, happy looks good on whatever God provides. It does. And now, if I just happen to be talking to somebody in this crowd that's not caught on to the gladness that goes with the good things of God, well, I hope I've told you enough. You know you ought to get a good dose of it and just determine that you're going to let it show. Amen. Now, so what do we got here? The rest of the story. We got a story of grace and growth and groups and all of this. It's all a story of gratitude. Chapter 2 and verse 47 says they were praising God. You know, next month it'll have been my privilege to be at the sword of the Lord 31 years. I had the privilege to be pastor for 34 years prior to that. And like I told you this morning, I'm still middle-aged, but anyway. I pull on those grounds at the sword. Our property's right downtown Murfreesboro. I pull onto that parking lot every day that I'm in town. A lot of mornings before the sun comes up. Betty comes to eat lunch with him and we pull back on those grounds. I cannot hardly pull on the parking lot without just looking at it and saying, thank God. And praising God for what he lets us do. The fact is, we get to touch a lot of people around the world with a lot of things we're doing. And to have the privilege to be in on that and in effect pushing some of the buttons that makes it happen, I'm telling you, God is so good. And we rejoice in that. We thank God for it. I was telling one of the guys here a while ago about the sweet wife I've been married to all these years. Many of you have met her because she's been here a time or two. And some of you know she took a bad fall a few weeks back. She's over it. She's recovered from it. But she came very, very close to being a total disaster. And you know, I mean, I didn't just start after that, but I thank God the sweet, blessed relationship God has given us and the happiness that we have. And from that, our children, grandchildren, and now three little great-grands, all of that, I'm telling you, we have much to be grateful for. Much to be grateful for. We bow our heads at mealtime. You bow, we all do that, or we should. And, we what do? We say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for an appetite, you know. Sometimes I need to ask the Lord to help me tone that down. But thankful to the Lord, a story of gratitude, and you see it in these people. Not only that, but this is a story, the rest of the story in the book of Acts, it's a story of going daily in the temple, 542. Acts chapter 8 and verse 4 says, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Oh, wait a minute. Scattered abroad? Yeah, a lot of them were run out of their homes. A lot of them said, hey, no, we don't want your rent. Leave. We're going to give you somebody else. A lot of those guys were kicked out of their jobs. Why? Because they became Christians. And so they get booted out. So mama's going up into the Golan Heights. Dad's going over to Caesarea by the sea. And the kids are shipped off to one of the grandparents down in the Negev. I mean, so you got people being scattered everywhere. So I know what's going on with them. I mean, they're all going to be going to counselors. They're all going to be going to see a psychiatrist. Nope. It's not what happened. They were so stirred up. They went everywhere. They were scattered. Kicked out of their homes, kicked out of their jobs, but they went everywhere telling people about what the Lord had done for them. So yes, it's a story of going. And it's a story of giving. A story of giving, generosity. Peter and the others said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Now, after everything that I've heard today, you all are making the rest of the story happen because you're a giving church. It's demonstrated in the book of Acts. They were giving in so many, many ways. It's also a story of godliness. Sharp contrast. Oh, I'm telling you, you take people that are driving up and down this highway out here on their way to wherever and coming back, day after day after day, a lot of them are stopping at places and doing things that they ought not to be doing, just absolutely despicably wicked things. And yet there comes a time when somebody puts a gospel tract in their hands, somebody gives a gospel witness to them, somebody hears the radio broadcast, somebody sees the sign out front and says, ooh, I think maybe we'll go there on Sunday, and they hear what they need to hear and they get saved. And all at once, they don't stop at the beer joint anymore. They don't stop at some of those other places that have been hatched in the hot place. They don't stop in those places anymore. They go home at night. They treat their family right now. Sharp contrast. It is a story of godliness. And it's a story of grit. A lot of these folks were not only kicked out of their homes and their jobs, but they were arrested. Some of them were whipped, thrashed, jailed, hauled into court, threatened with all kinds of legal maneuvers, and yet they are unrelenting. It's like they walk into the lion's den of opposition, into the fiery furnace of criticism, and the dungeon of hate and hostility, and they just will not quit. They will not quit. Folks, we all get pressure of one kind or another. I read the book of Acts every time that I feel the heat, every time I feel a little dab of pressure, every time that I get under the gun of criticism, I look through the book of Acts and I say, there's the prototype, there's my mentors. There are people that I can identify with and walk the walk that they walked. It is a story that is absolutely mind-boggling. And a couple of things I need to tell you too. The rest of the story, yeah, it is a story of gripes. There are grumblers. They had them then. They had people who were grousing all the time. They had their critic cranks. So who were they? Well, some were Pharisees, some were Sadducees, some were public officials, some were members of the Sanhedrin, whatever. But they would not let them stop. I mean, they took the griping, the grumbling, the grousing. They just took it and just kept plowing. They kept both oars in the water. And two, it's a story of grief. Because chapter 4 says some of the people were grieved that they taught the people. They found themselves, chapter 5, great fear after the Ananias and Sapphira debacle and other things like that. So yeah, there was some grief, the killing of Stephen and so forth. But finally, it's a story of glory. Oh, I know we don't begin to even think about usurping the glory that belongs to God. But I'll tell you what the Lord does. Yeah. Hey, unto him be glory in the church. We watch that. We're gonna go there. We're gonna do it that way. But I'll tell you what happens. When God's glorified, he knows how to put a little gravy on our biscuits too. He knows how to share some things with us that we'll be glad that we received. So yeah, it's a story of glory. So the rest of the story, well, Acts is the prototype. Now, let me put it like this. Now, we can send somebody to Alaska or Chicago or Detroit or LA or New York or Miami. We can send somebody, but we're not there. So in a very real sense, other than sending somebody, you say, what is happening in Chicago? What's happening in Miami? We can't do much about that. But I tell you what we can do. We can do something about where we are. Where we are. The rest of the story can be played out where we are with us. It can happen. So the rest of the story, yes, it's a story of the gospel, a story of growth, and groups, and grace, and gladness, and gratitude, and going, and giving, and godliness, and grit, and gripes, and grief, and glory. Be honest with me. If I'd have told you when I started I had 13 points, would have scared you, wouldn't it? But it's the rest of the story. We read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we see the blessed Lord Jesus. I mean, he is presented so that we can get a handle on who he is and what he's about. And then we see these precious people serving God, living out their lives, doing what they do in the way that I've tried to present it here. And I look at all of that and I say, and here we are now in the 21st century. We have the opportunity to write a few new chapters in the rest of the story. God help us that we don't get discouraged, we don't throw in the towel or find ourselves unfaithful and missing. Let's stay on track, folks. Amen? Let's do it. Stand up with me, please. We'll be done. Thank you for listening so well. You know, I mentioned being pastor a long time and being the sword and having the opportunity to travel a lot of places and preach the gospel and preach the truth. I thank the Lord that I have had many, many years to do that. I trust I'll have some more. I want some more. And I'm telling you, it's an exciting thing when we get in on whatever God is doing in our time. And your spot may be to run one of those bus routes. Those buses sitting out there on that lot. Your spot may be to help with that Saturday outreach that's coming, or that big day that's coming, or whatever. Or help with those kids down in junior church, or singing that big choir we had in here this morning. Whatever the case, I'm just saying, don't let even the slightest thing deter you from a lifetime of being a part of the rest of the story. Dear Lord, help us, I pray. Warm us up, strengthen us, empower us, like you said in Acts 1:8, so that we may be able to let our little words, our little testimony, put our flag up and people be impressed and helped by it. May the sweet Spirit of God move and work now in this invitation time. Lord, if there's somebody listening to me, either here or online, who's not saved, Lord, I pray they listened when I told them Jesus died on the cross and arose from the grave, paid their sin debt, purchased salvation for them. Move, I pray, on any unsaved person that's listening to me just now. And Lord, I pray they'll respond and put their faith in the Lord Jesus. For others who may need to find their way to this altar, dear Lord, Move upon us, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.